You join us for our latest podcast from Appleby in Jersey. John Bisson is here to discuss wills and probate today. So let's talk law. Hi, John.
Good afternoon to you.
John, this can be a very complex subject, but one that people need to get right. Firstly, why is it so important to have a will for any wealth and assets that people may hold in Jersey?
I think the principle is quite clear, and it applies to an asset in Jersey in the same way that it applies to an asset anywhere else. If you have a will, you can direct where you wish your assets to go following your death. If you don't give such a direction, the law is always going to make a provision. So somebody will inherit your property. At worst, the Queen, or indeed, I beg your pardon, behind the times, the King in Jersey. But you do have the opportunity of saying what you want. And a will simply means that. It means what you want. If you don't make a will, the law says how your property devolves.
What are the pitfalls, would you say, the potential pitfalls if you have funds in a deposit in Jersey but don't have an appropriate succession provision in place to cover the devolution of those funds?
I think there's going to be an added level of complexity which can be avoided if you have a will which will cover an asset in Jersey. And indeed, it may well be better to have a will which specifically covers your assets in Jersey, which may be in parallel with other wills that you may make in respect of your assets in other jurisdictions.
And can you make amendments to a will? So if you want to make some changes, will that then revoke previous wills? Do you need a new one? How does that work?
Well, this is one of the places where one needs to be careful, because generally speaking, if you make a new will, you will automatically revoke any previous will that you may have made. Therefore, if you were to have, as I suggested, maybe the possibility of two wills, one dealing, should we say, with your Jersey assets, and the other dealing with your assets in Dubai, shall we say, you don't want to make a new will in Dubai and inadvertently revoke the will that you've made in respect of your assets in Jersey. So I always advise parties who make more than one will to be very careful that if they seek some changes, that they bear in mind all the testamentary arrangements that they may have at the same time.
So as you say, people, of course, can hold their wealth in multiple jurisdictions. So how can you support clients with offshore wills, John?
Well, it's a pretty substantial part of the business of offshore law in Jersey to assist people with making wills in respect of Jersey assets, to advise them whether an existing will they may have will be suitable to cover their assets in Jersey. And then, sadly, when those people are no longer with us, to assist their estate with recovering those assets, either by taking out probate for the will or dealing with position if people have no will at all. If you have no will, your estate still has to be administered.
But it's not just corporate law that you deal with, is it, here at Appleby? You can support anyone locally with their will, is that right?
Oh, indeed so. And the part of the practice that I'm involved in deals a lot with local work, local property, as I spoke about in one of these previous podcasts, but also local wills. We have a system in Jersey which differentiates between property assets on the one hand, houses and land, and anything else on the other hand, money in a bank account, investments, your car, contents, your home, whatever. And we can assist people with wills in respect of Jersey in the same way that we can assist people who live, as I said in my example, Dubai.
Inheritance tax doesn't exist in Jersey, which is a real positive. But my understanding is that stamp duty does. So how can people end up paying more stamp duty than they need to?
Well, stamp duty is always a topic that gets me quite excited, actually. And there is a very big difference between the level of stamp duty on movable estate, which I described a few moments ago as being anything other than houses and land, where the stamp duty can never exceed 0.75%. And stamp duty in respect of Jersey situs immovable property, so this point relates only to people who have physical property, houses and land in Jersey, where the stamp duty can be as high as 10.5%. And when one says, as people always do, oh, there's no inheritance tax in Jersey, to have to pay a stamp duty at 10.5% is pretty much the same as having to pay a tax. So people who make Jersey wills relating to their bricks and mortar need to get the benefit of careful advice to see that they mitigate to any extent possible, the stamp duty that their family is otherwise going to have to pay.
That is steep. I didn't know that that was the situation, so people really could get themselves into a bit of a spot there.
They could. The income tax authorities in Jersey have been talking for a little while about looking carefully at the whole tax structure in Jersey. And one of the things that I've encouraged them to do is to look at this question of stamp duty on registering wills of immovable property. Generally speaking, people pass a property through to their family. But I'm well aware of circumstances where families have been unable to register a will because the stamp duty was beyond their capacity to pay. If you're a family who are lucky enough to have over the years, shall we say, a couple of farm properties, you can't be more Jersey than to own Jersey farm properties. If you want to register a will to pass on those farm properties in a way which isn't exactly the same as it would be if you had no will, then you're going to be paying stamp duty on the value of some millions of pounds at very high rates. I've gone so far as to say in the past, and I'll repeat it today, I think that's an iniquitous level of stamp duty.
So something that you'd really encourage people to get advice on, John?
Absolutely. To look at whether they can mitigate that in some way, which could involve perhaps passing property on during their lifetimes, or to see that as near as possible, they leave their property in such a way to reduce the amount of the stamp duty.
Just changing tack slightly, Appleby is growing the private client and trust area of the firm, and you're going to be working closely with Nicola Aldridge and Giles Corbin on the team. So can you tell us a bit more about your role in supporting high net worth clients in this area and bringing your expertise really in wills and probate to that?
Well, indeed, there is quite a strong nexus between requirements of high net worth individuals in respect of their affairs and what we at Appleby can do for them and what we in the property group can do for them. Because most high net worth individuals will own a very expensive property, upon the purchase of which they will have paid a very large amount of stamp duty, quite often running into hundreds of thousands of pounds. We're talking about very substantial sums of money on high value properties. Therefore, they don't want to think that they might be exposed or their family might be exposed to an equivalent upon their death. So we would look with them at, in the first instance, maybe how they structured their affairs at the time of the purchase and how they would like their property to devolve upon their death. There are certain specific requirements to make a valid will relating to Jersey movable property. So we would assist in that regard and generally take part in a structuring exercise to see that their assets were best dealt with so that upon their ultimate deaths, there would be the minimum of difficulty for those who come after them.
Well, John, thank you very much for talking to us today. And you're very happy to advise people. They can just pick up the phone or drop you a line.
That's absolutely correct. We want to hear from people.
John, thank you.